On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, we're going to talk about why it's important to treat candidates just like your clients and develop a specific marketing plan for them. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding good candidates right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates, drive more traffic to your job board, and increase applications. To learn more, give us a call at 888-696-2900.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing with 15 years experience in marketing for the staffing industry. You can follow the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and the podcast app on your Apple device. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the president of Me Derby. She is Robin Mee. Robin, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Haley. Thank you, Todd. And I'm super excited to be here today.
Well, I know we've been trying to have you on for a while, and we've finally been able to connect through busy schedules and my cold and everything else. So we're finally ready to go today. So why don't you start off by giving everybody kind of your 60-second elevator pitch for Me Derby?
Sure. I've said this many times over the course of 30 years. Me Derby is the leading search firm for the staffing and workforce solutions industries, specializing in management and executive search. We work nationally from startups to the global leaders across all staffing verticals.
And how did you yourself get started in the industry?
Yeah, I've been in staffing since I graduated college.
Oh.
I started in public sector staffing. I ran the Fairfax County Summer Youth Employment Program. I am headquartered here in the D.C. metro area. Fairfax is one of our large counties, and that program recruited and placed low-income youth in government jobs and nonprofit organizations. I actually started summers in college, and when I graduated, I went full-time there. And, you know, 3 years in, I was getting frustrated with the slow pace of local government, and after a lot of soul-searching, transitioned into private sector staffing and joined ADECO, which was Audi at the time, to work for Peter Yesney's Word Processors Personnel Service, which is a company that he started and sold to Audi. So I worked for Peter for 2 years. I was the first hire after he sold his company and opened up and managed the Washington office. It was both perm placement and then temporary staffing, all in word processing. And then I went to work for a local independent firm that was sold twice before I got laid off in an acquisition. Peter went on to found Staffing Industry Analysts in 1988, the same year I started Me Derby, 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So interesting. I know, right? I mean, how fortuitous was that, that I learned sort of at the knee of what became, you know, the one of the most important icons in the staffing industry, you know, in our history.
And you're and you're one of those few people that went right from college into the staffing industry. We don't hear that answer very often when I ask that question.
Right. And it was really interesting because the Summer Youth Employment Program was exactly like staffing. We had to recruit in this case, it was students in local high schools. They had to meet certain qualifications, low income. And we also had some, disability set asides later in the course of my career there. But then we had to place them. We had to ensure that they had everything they needed to be successful. We did a lot of, you can imagine, you know, mentoring and support. We had to pay them on a weekly basis. And we were giving these youth, which were between the ages 18 and 21, 14 and 21, probably their first professional work experience. First professional work experience. So transitioning into public sector staffing, you know, the staffing industry was such a natural. Now, an interesting fact, my mom had a whole career in HR. And then when we moved to Washington, D.C. from Ohio, she went to work for a staffing company, a Western franchise. And her dad wanted to bankroll her to start a staffing company. But she didn't want to be in business with her dad. So, you know, I would have been second generation running my mother's company. But in fact, after she had a whole career in and ended with the Department of Labor, actually, and then retired after being with OFCCP running the Rocky Mountain region. Wow. Everybody who's listening to this will know exactly who OFCCP is. And then she came to work for MeDerby and spent the last 10 years of her career as a recruiter at MeDerby. Now, I did ask her to use her maiden name so that people didn't necessarily know she was my mother. Not very many people did. That's just an interesting little story.
That's great. So very similar to our president, David Searns. You kind of grew up in the industry and really kind of it was a family industry for you guys.
In many ways. Yes, in many ways. My son has even done some sourcing for us recently. He was pretty good.
And it continues on to the next generation. I love it.
We'll see.
You know, one of the things I wanted us to start with is we hear this a lot from other staffing firms we work with, is that they try to be everything to everyone. That, you know, every company out there is their target, and they'll fill any job available. But I know with MeDerby, you guys like to be a little bit more focused. And what are the advantages to being more narrowly focused?
So I started in staffing as a specialist, right? I was part of this word processors personnel service. And I really understood and recognized the benefits of becoming an expert in one area. To become a subject matter expert in just one thing then seemed natural. It seemed comfortable. I mean, it seemed like a fast start. And to do it from both a client perspective made sense, to do it from both a client perspective, from building the talent pool perspective, and from marketing and branding perspective. Being more narrowly focused just seemed like the right strategy for me and for my company. We could be the best in one thing and generously refer business out that is not or was not our core competency. And that has been our recipe for success, really, from the very beginning. Within 2 months of starting the company, I decided to specialize in the staffing industry. And not HR. Whatever happens in the staffing industry happens at MeDerby. So, you know, when there was the expansion in IT, right, late 90s, we saw the same expansion in terms of work at MeDerby. When Workforce Solutions, you know, RFP, VMS, MSP, BPO, and all of that started really expanding, that business expanded here at MeDerby too. So staffing and Workforce Solutions is our specialty. And we decided that we couldn't be good at everything, but we could be great in that. And it's been executive search all the time. Now we do a little bit of consulting. Sometimes companies will come to us because they've got a specific project that they need to have done, and we can help them with that. Occasionally, they want to hire somebody that we've sent into them for a position on a contract basis. And once in a while, we've done a temp perm. But that's not what people come to us because they want to hire people with staffing industry experience. Those people are all working. And so it's executive search, management and executive. But back to the question, I believe that you can really build your specialty by being actively involved. I know you guys have sort of a very similar model in relevant associations and organizations. You can get involved in one or two places when you specialize, and you can volunteer, and we do, and speak at meetings and conferences and blog and write articles and get interviewed and generally give back, which all establishes and reinforces the brand credibility. There's so many creative ways to specialize. It just seemed like the right strategy, And really, 30 years later, it continues to be the right strategy for my company.
Yeah, and I always like to bring things back either to food or sports. And in this analogy, you know, I think of, you know, when you go to Cheesecake Factory and they have a massive menu and, okay, maybe you'll get a decent meal there. Or you can go to a really nice restaurant where they have a very limited menu and you know they're going to knock it out of the park because they're just specializing in a few little items. So that's my restaurant analogy for that one.
Well, and I think what happens is when you specialize, people know you for that thing, right? Yep. So really, you might go to Cheesecake Factory and get cheesecake. And you know you're going to have a nice menu of options. So companies come to Meador because they want to hire a very specific staffing industry professional. And candidates, people come to Meador because they know that's what we do. So instead of going to a company and they're only going to have positions at their company, we've got this menu of opportunities that we can offer. And so we do actually a lot of counseling of people who they're just starting to think about making a job change, and they want to just talk and they want to understand what the competitive landscape looks like and if their compensation should look like in other companies. And there's a lot of that kind of counseling and conversation that we have separate from, you know, the real work of taking job orders from company. You know, essentially what we do is we place managers and executives and staff in companies. But it's, you know, the client relationship management and the candidate relationship management. But because we're known for this, people, we do have early access to talent, because when people are just starting to think, they aren't interviewing actively other places. And so we do think, you know, there's lots of benefits to specializing, but that early access to talent is one of them.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you do at MeDerby too is you take that innovative approach to recruiting in that you treat it like marketing. And, you know, it's like the hallelujah bells go off for me because I love that, approach that you take. I've been saying staffing firms need to be doing this for many, many years now. First off, how did you come to the realization that recruiting should be treated just like you would be marketing to your clients?
So 5 years ago, the question kept coming up, what is the biggest challenge in your business and what is keeping you up at night, right? You know, that great question that salespeople like to ask.
We love asking that one. Yep.
Exactly. And you guys were one of the people that were asking that question. So for MeDerby, it was attracting qualified and interested candidates and using technology to make that happen. So I had to figure out how to solve that problem. And I set about educating myself on what was available. I'm the president of a small search firm. There are 10 of us. And at any given time, there might be 11 or 12 or 9. But I wear many hats. And so 50% of the time, I'm running the company, managing the company. And 50% of the time, I'm still working with clients and managing search. I do more routine search these days, but, you know, I'm still actively involved in the business. So I started talking to everyone I could on this subject. I talked to colleagues. I talked to clients. I talked to trusted advisors, consultants. I started reading relevant material on the subject. I got, you know, I'm actively involved with the American Staffing Association and staffing industry analysts, and that's really introduced me to a wide variety of people. And although I didn't do this initially, now I'm on the marketing committee of ASA, which has exposed me to a huge plethora of extraordinary marketing leaders in our industry. So I'm just like a sponge. I'll go to every webinar. I will read every article. I'll go to conferences and I'll make sure I attend those marketing sessions, because I believe that, you know, in the advent of technology, marketing and recruiting, and really sales too, I mean, it's all about our brand, and these things have merged. And the way to reach out is through, you know, a combination of things. So we landed on a marketing strategy. And again, we started this 5 years ago. So we work with the marketing company, and in this case, it's Haley, to ensure that we've got the right web presence, we've got the right SEO strategy, we showcase the jobs in the right way. So working with a marketing company that specializes in my industry, really, you guys bring me incredible resources. I can't be an expert in marketing, but I can tap into people who are. So that has been huge, important. But, you know, I don't buy everything that Haley has to offer. So I hired a marketing person, and this was a recent college graduate at the time. Now she's been with me for 4 years, and she may even be in her fifth year, and she's learned how to be a marketing person. She was a great writer. And so she initiated marketing at Me Derby, and she manages everything. I mean, she and I work really collaboratively, and I bet I spend 10% of my time in marketing and working with Lexi Mills to make sure we've got the right content strategy. So she initiates and manages the content strategy. It incorporates shared and original content on a variety of social media platforms that she manages. The four kind of pillars are the Me Derby website, our LinkedIn career page, and our whole LinkedIn strategy, really, Twitter, and our Me Derby Facebook page. And that's a far, you know, that's, we don't use the Facebook page as much as we use the others. And I think our website and our LinkedIn page and and Twitter, we are posting daily on our career page. We are tweeting daily, and then something goes up on the blog on our website, ideally once a week, definitely four times a month. But we decided that LinkedIn was where staffing professionals live. So, I mean, everybody has to figure out where do their marketing dollars make sense. For us, it was LinkedIn. And so we decided to invest there. Now, all of our recruiters have upgraded LinkedIn recruiter licenses, but that's a recruiting and sourcing strategy. We decided to invest in LinkedIn Talent Solution, which includes an enhanced career page and job postings, a certain number of job postings, targeted ad campaigns, and others. We have a job posting strategy that is limited really to our website and to our LinkedIn pages. And our marketing manager edits all of our jobs before posting, any posting, to comply with what we've set up as our company standards, which were really shaped by LinkedIn posting recommendations. We do some sponsored ads on LinkedIn, but you know, just a couple a month, but we're trying to reach out to people who aren't one of our first level connects or a company follower. And 4 years ago, we started this and we've had strong success, both with our marketing slash, you know, the integration of our marketing recruiting strategy, but we also decided to add a sourcing role to the organization. And we've used both on and offshore sourcing. And so what, in addition to this marketing strategy, we have dedicated sourcing, and not every placement that we make in the course of a year, the candidate has been sourced by a sourcer, but, we really partner sourcers with recruiters so that we can get the very best talent as quickly as possible for our open positions.
And I love what you said about having the company guidelines for your job postings. I'm talking to a lot of our clients right now that use our job board. And when I look at their jobs, you know, some of them are bullet pointed and some of them are just a big long paragraph and some hardly have any information at all. And some have too much information. I love that you guys have established the guidelines that are important for making your job postings stand out and making them relevant and attractive to the people that you're going after.
Well, it's really hard because our recruiters are responsible for posting. So we work a 360 desk. We're direct hire, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody manages clients, manages search, but they also have a plenty of administrative kinds of work and process here because they've got to ideally get the job description from the company, or, you know, probably 50% of the times our clients don't even have job descriptions. Mm-hmm. So then they have to write them. Mm-hmm. But we take that client job description along with the search kickoff call and really meld all the information together and come up with something that is short and sweet and a call to action. But everybody has different writing skills and some people have much greater attention to detail than others. And so Lexi has the responsibility, and it's taken us a while to get here, believe me, but you know, no job gets posted on our website or gets tagged over to LinkedIn without copy editing. And you know, we need to do the same thing, frankly, for the bios that we present. When we're presenting a candidate, we present it with a bio, and we've got, you know, a template standard for that too. But again, everybody's got different writing skills and styles and, and focus. But we've had, let me tell you some successes that we've had from implementing this plan. We've had positive year over year growth ever since we initiated this process. In 2018, we grew 16%. With one less recruiter, and it was a record year for us. And in direct hire, that's really important because, you know, for every billing recruiter, you've got, you know, how that directly relates to revenue. But we had one less person, and grew 16%. It was amazing. First quarter 2019 was a record first quarter. And after implementing this job posting strategy, we went from filling 3% of our jobs with a job posting candidate, meaning somebody who saw a job posting and applied and was qualified and interested and got the job. In 2017, only 3% of our placements came from a job posting. First quarter 2019, 20% of our placements came from a job posting. And so overall, and this statistic's been in pretty consistent over the last couple of years, generally, we fill 30% of our positions from our network and 70% through our sourcing and posting strategy, with the majority of that coming from our sourcing and recruiting initiative. And that is really powered by LinkedIn RPS because it drives all of the new candidate engagement unless somebody is reaching out to us. So collaboratively, my team probably interviews 100 people a week, 100 staffing industry professionals a week. Some of those people are coming to us because of our brand. Some are coming because of specific jobs. Some of them are coming because we're reaching out and contacting them directly about a position. And we're doing that primarily through LinkedIn. We might do it through our database. We also might do it through, you know, just referrals. But it's a real thought out process. It's been really successful for us.
It's all about the process. I love it. We preach that here at Haley Marketing too. You know, get that process down and success will follow, I guess is the best way to put it. You'd mentioned content marketing as part of that mix. And I know that that's really been essential to your company's growth. And of course, that's music to my ears, but I think when staffing owners look at content, they think, oh, geez, that's another thing I need to take care of on top of all the other things that I need to do every day. And I just don't have time to create content. But you, I know, have really involved your team in creating that content. How have you gone about doing that?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I felt the same way about content at first. I kind of thought it was something y'all marketing people were making up. But on the other hand, you know, I was willing to give it a shot. And so having a dedicated marketing person helps. But I, like I said, spend probably 10% of my time working in marketing. And we do a combination of original content, shared content, and jobs. Now, LinkedIn has told us, not a lot of jobs, way more content. So we post one job a week to our career page. We put content out there 4 times a week. And then once a month, we do hot jobs of the month. And it really has, this content strategy has really, I think, increased our overall thought leadership and our subject matter expertise. And I get incredible engagement, both like people telling me how much they love what we're doing out there and also, you know, likes and shares and comments. And it really starts conversation. It personalizes engagement. And there's a lot of interesting interaction that takes place. And I'll give you an example. We recently completed a president search, and the client asked for suggestions on creative ways to make the announcement and introduce the new president to his organization. He's the founder. He had never had anybody else running the company but him. And so I could have done an email blast. Like back in the day, we would have done an email blast and asked people using, you know, email for input. And we would have gotten some input, but it would have been much more time consuming than what I did. I posed the question on LinkedIn. And this was a personal post, not a, you know, Me Derby. Well, I don't know if it was a personal post or if it was, if I put on the Me Derby company page. I think it was a personal post. And I quickly had about 30 responses. They were all relevant. They were all industry specific. And people were really kind of interested and engaged and excited to talk about this. And I think that as a result, we are communicating. We've created community. We've created a community of staffing professionals, not the only one that exists, but we've created one at Me Derby, and we digitally engage with that community daily. So how the team gets involved is that our marketing manager posts daily on our LinkedIn company page and then sends out an email with the link on an encouragement of the team to share and comment. And it's just as important that they build their individual brands at the same time we're building our company brand. So collectively, our team of 10 has over 90,000 first level connects.
Wow.
And then we have about 10 million second level connects.
Wow.
And LinkedIn tells us, I know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn tells us that, because we do quarterly reviews with LinkedIn, and they give us a lot of metrics, including that we engage with over about half of the people, the million plus people who self-identify in LinkedIn as part of the staffing and recruiting industry. And that is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
We are engaging with hundreds of thousands of people. And so on the team, everybody blogs a couple times a year. Now we have to encourage and cajole and ask, but you know, creating original content in their unique voices, again, really powerful.
Yeah.
We celebrate and share individual successes. Like Sue Jagan is one of our executive recruiters, and she recently contributed to an article in Staffing Success magazine. We blogged about that. She recently was appointed to the as head of the American Staffing Association Capital Area Network Council in D.C. We blogged about that. Kim Whiteley and Jill Ballack are at ASA's Connect East conference right now. They're going to blog about that. They're going to take pictures, and we're going to get that on the website over the next, as the website and the LinkedIn page. We really use LinkedIn as our, you know, huge, it's really our daily communication with our community, which are staffing professionals.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, it's not just enough to get the content out there. You also have to connect with everybody, like you said. And I know that in, you know, the span of 5 years that you guys have just exponentially built your social media followers. I think you said it was from 200 to 20,000. How is that possible? That number seems incredible. What kinds of tactics have you guys used to help build that that network of followers?
Yeah, it is pretty amazing, and it happened so organically. I think if you're putting out good content, that people want to follow you. So in addition to the fact that everybody has their own right connects, that 80,000, 90,000 that I mentioned, so that everybody in the team, myself included, when you're talking to somebody, you know, Todd, if we're not connected on LinkedIn, we need to be, right? So after, you know, this, I'm going to go in and make sure we are, send you an invite. I think it's almost standard operating procedure these days to connect with people that you're talking to professionally. And frankly, using LinkedIn as a, you know, I'm going to look at their site, their LinkedIn profile before I get on the phone with somebody, so I have context about who they are. But building our social media followers on our LinkedIn page was something different. So as of today, we have 20,548. And we have made a concerted effort to build followers, but it's all been providing content to attract curious and interested staffing and workforce solutions professionals to us. And I think it circles back to your original question on specialization. So our commitment is to build community in our staffing ecosystem that people find value in. They're not going to follow you if they don't find value.
Right.
And it works because we specialize. I think the specialization is the key. It works because we share our unique perspective on topics of the day, on issues that our staffing community care about. And I think people care about what we think, right? And so, you know, what we share is unique to what we think is important. And But what we think is important is really so much of an indication of who we are. And it just feels like we're giving back. And we're so, every one of us is so passionate and excited and happy to be part of this great industry that continues to grow exponentially every year, that fuels the American workforce by creating jobs for people, but one job at a time across every industry across the United States. And really, that's what every one of us do. Every company, every staffing professional, that's what we do. And, you know, I just think it's such important and good work. And it's the, you know, going back to the social media followers, it's happened organically, but it's, I'm 100% sure it's because of the content strategy.
Yeah, it doesn't happen by accident. We know that to build up those types of numbers. You know, before we let you go here, one last thing I just wanted to touch on, because you have such a unique perspective on this industry, because not only are you a staffing firm, but you're staffing for the staffing industry. So you're really immersed in this industry. And I just wanted you to maybe kind of take out your crystal ball a little bit. And, you know, what will this industry look like in, say, 2021? Where are we headed with this?
2021 is not that far from now.
Right.
And it is true. We have an amazing perspective because all day, every day, we are either talking to staffing industry executives, staffing industry hiring managers, staffing industry professionals, and every company, even though we're all doing the same thing, right, putting people to work, the way every company does it is so different.
Yeah.
So I think that we will continue to embrace technology, and goodness, there is such a plethora of new technology. There's an explosion, a technology explosion in our industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have to figure out what is right for our companies. We need to be progressive, but we also need to be judicious. And, you know, as a small company, I need to make good decisions. And so I need to invest wisely, all right, in the right people and the right technology. But I think that the relationship management piece is not going to be automated. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're going to use technology wisely. And you know this, you know, there's so much help from the temporary staffing perspective. This isn't that relevant for me, but matter of fact, I look at a lot of technology to see if it's going to work for me, Derby, and it's not relevant for my search firm because, you know, it's onboarding for temporary staffing or it's, you know, candidate engagement, but it's for temporary staffing. So it's got a different application than in executive search. But it's still going to come down to putting people to work and the relationship of, I mean, I'm all about candidates for life. And when you specialize in one area, you get candidates and clients for life. You get relationships for the lifespan of your business. And so I don't think that part's going to go away. So I don't, you know, I think that the future continues to look so bright for us. I mean, I think no matter what happens with the economy, I know everybody's worried about when that next shoe's going to drop. Mm-hmm. We've had, you know, 10 years of expansion. I think in that 10 years, companies have changed the way they hire. And I think people have changed the way they work. And we are such an important part of the fabric of those two things that I think the next recession will look really different for us than the last one did.
Well, fingers,
you know, the percentage of people working in temporary and contract positions has never been higher. And the numbers, when you look at the projections, that over 50% of the American workforce is going to work in some gig economy kind of job, the future looks really bright for us.
Fingers crossed, Robin, fingers crossed that this all comes true. She is the president of Me Derby. She's Robin Me. You can find out more about Me Derby at MeDerby.com. It's MeEDerby.com. Robin, I can't thank you enough for all of your insight and for sharing some of your secrets of staffing success with our audience.
Thank you, Todd, and thank you, Haley Marketing.
My thanks to Robin Me from Me Derby. So as a recap, it would be really easy for me to just say, go do everything that Robin is doing, because she's been very successful for a very long time. And, you know, the advice and the tips that she gave during that interview were spot on. But the one that really stood out to me was when she said, you know, are you creating candidates for life? And I love that phrasing. And if you think about how many times do you have a job opening and do you go searching for new candidates as opposed to going back into your candidate database and using the people you already have in there? That's how you create candidates for life. You keep them employed all the time. It's amazing to me when I talk to staffing firms and they say, no, yeah, we're always looking for new candidates, new candidates, new candidates. What about your database that has 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 candidates in it? Start there. Use your existing database. Send emails to your candidates before their assignment is over. Links to, you know, other assignments so that you're constantly keeping them employed so that there's no downtime in between positions. Making sure your process is really simple. From the very moment that they have contact with your company, you know, all the way till they're ready to retire. How simple is your process? How simple is it to go from assignment to assignment? You know, making sure your job board is mobile optimized. How easy is it for me to, you know, as I'm getting off an assignment, just flip through your my phone and look at your existing jobs and making sure that it's very easy for me to apply to those jobs or to contact my recruiter through your mobile website. And then finally, just little things like acknowledging birthdays and work anniversaries, making them feel like they're part of the team, that they're not just a temp, but they're actually part of XYZ staffing. Those little things that you can do, and you know, this doesn't require much effort. Those five things I just listed there, it's not difficult to do, but they're going to go a long way to creating those candidates for life. That'll do it for us. My big thanks to Robin Mee from Mee Derby. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. We'll always post all of our brand new episodes there. And if you want to subscribe to this, you can find us basically anywhere where you can find a podcast these days, as well at HaleyMarketing.com. That'll do it for this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. We will talk to you next time.